It's good to be in the house of the Lord. God is good all the time. In the bad times, in the good times, in the COVID times, he is always good. All right, Matthew 5, we'll be looking at verse 14 down to 18. The title of our message this morning is Let His Light Shine. Let His Light Shine. Matthew 5. Verse 14 to 17. Let us begin. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Again, Lord, where will we be without you? We thank you for your provisions. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your purpose of having us here. And Lord, I pray in this hour that you will fulfill your purpose through preaching to tear down strongholds, to encourage the weary, to rebuke the stubborn, to speak to the lonely, speak grace to the one who is in sin. Oh, Lord, you have chosen the foolishness of preaching to do so many great things in our lives. And, Lord, we're asking this morning that you would do them once again. Even me, the speaker, the preacher, speak to me, Lord. You know my failures. You know my flaws. You know what I need. Speak to us this morning. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of our message again is Let His Light Shine. Let His Light Shine. Today in 2020, we stand in a world full of children, not of the light, but of the darkness. The devil has taken captive the children, God's creation, man who are made in God's image. He has taken the world captive. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world of corrupt people. But they are still people. The world is full of people who don't live by the Beatitudes, but as I would call it, the D-attitudes, the devil attitude. In chapter 5, Jesus began this sermon on teaching his people, his disciples, the Beatitudes. And he gives all of the Beatitudes. But I tell you what, we don't see the Beatitudes in this society, on our jobs, at school, even sometimes in our own homes. We see the devil attitudes. Instead of meekness, men have chosen pride. Instead of poor in spirit, man has chosen self-righteousness. Instead of being hungry for righteousness, hungering for righteousness, man thirsts for unrighteousness. Instead of being merciful, men are condemning. I have never seen a more condemning generation. They love to say, thou shalt not judge, until it comes to cancel culture. We live in a world of judging to the fullest degree. Instead of being pure, men are impure. Instead of being peacemakers, men want war. The world of men is covered in darkness, and they hate the children of light. And this is why we are called. This is why we, as the children of God, are called to reach the darkness, to go into the darkness, because men are not coming to us. God knew this. That's why he said, go. Go. What a powerful two-letter word. Go. Not stay. No, he called us to go. Why? Because the world is not going to come. One preacher said it this way. They will not come. They must be brought. They will not learn. They must be taught. They will not seek. They must be sought. So when the world needed light, God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Jesus said it, I am come to seek and to save those who are lost. So, the first point this morning is the Son of Light. The Son of Light. Who is the Son of Light? Who is the Son that the Father of all creation sent into this world? Matthew 5, verse 17, Jesus gives a great description of himself, of what he came to do. Verse 17, we'll begin at the end and work our way back to the beginning of our text. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus, he went through the darkness to shine the light of God, the Father of lights. Just like in 2020, that's where we live in, right? 2020, people have a false perception of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there was no difference between 2020 and 30 AD. In 30 AD, man had a false perception of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, think not. Don't think I've come to destroy the law. No, I have not come to destroy. The darkness can never understand the light. John 1:5, Jesus knew this. This is what John said about Jesus. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Jesus is the light, the Son of Light. And man could not perceive or comprehend what he came to do. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. The word here for destroy, the Greek word is katulo. It means to dissolve, to disunit, to disunite the law, to overthrow. No, Jesus did not come to overthrow the law, but he came to satisfy. Satisfy God's holy law and to shine it for all can see that he is the law fulfiller. He completed the law in every particular way. He left no stone of the law unturned. He fulfilled the law. He said in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And the Father was pleased with Jesus' work. Jesus came to finish the Father's work. And the Father was pleased with what he done, what he had done up to Matthew 17, verse 5. The Father said these words, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud was said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The Father was pleased with the Son. He was pleased with his Son. Jesus honored his Father like no son of Adam had ever done before. He was the law fulfiller. Every son of Adam that we know, every great hero of the faith, everyone who is in Hebrews 11, they all failed at some point. But only Jesus, only the Son of God, fulfilled the law. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many times have you failed? How many times have you tripped? How many times you have done something that the law says to do, you did not do? But every time, Jesus did complete the law perfectly. He is the perfect Son of God. Hebrews 5, 8, 9 says it this way. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author and author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus is the God-man. Jesus was man enough to go to a funeral. And God, he was man enough to go to a marriage. And God enough to turn water to wine. He is man enough to ask the lady at the well for water. And God enough to know her whole life. He is man enough to sleep on the boat because he was tired. And God enough to stop the storm. He is man enough to weep over Lazarus' death. He was man enough to weep. And he was God enough to raise him from the grave.
Amen.
He is man enough to die on the cross. And God enough to rise with all power in his hand. No one could do it better than the Son of God. No one could be a better son than Jesus Christ. He is the only one. The full Godhead embodied. Jesus shined the light of the Father through obedience, through the cross. No one did it better. No one could do it better. He is, as he said in John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is the light, the only light. If all the lights went out of this room and there was only one light left, that would represent how Jesus was in this world. There was no other light. There was no other place to go to find out who God is. Jesus is the light. So we see the Son of Light. Next we see the supply of light. Look at verse 14. Jesus says to his disciples, to his New Testament church, to his Baptist church here in chapter 5 of Matthew. He says, ye are the light of the world. This is one of those statements that makes the Christian feel so worthy and so unworthy. He says to them, ye are the light of the world. It makes you say, how? How, Jesus? We have failed you so many times. We have failed to be your witness. We have failed to do things the way you did things. How are we the light of the world? He says this to Peter. Peter's going to go on and leave him and leave him on the cross. He says this to all the disciples. Ye are the light of the world. How? Oh, this is how. Because of the Son of Light. Jesus dwells in a dazzling light, a splendid light, a splendid glory, a light that never changes, an everlasting light. In his light we see light. That's what the psalmist says. And Jesus supplies this light. to you and to me. What a mighty God we serve. Yes. The light of the church is Jesus. Yes. The church has no light outside of Jesus. Meaning, he gives all the graces the church needs. He gives all the godliness the church needs. He gives all the gifts the church needs to shine his light. He illuminates our mind. You don't know the Bible because you're so well educated. If anyone here has a degree, I'm sorry, your degree did not help you understand God. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the enlightenment of God through the Word of God has opened your mind to understanding who God is and how much you needed a Savior. Oh, he has enlightened our minds. He has enlightened our hearts. If you are passionate about Jesus, all the passion that lives inside of me for Jesus Christ is because he has supplied it to me and to you. All of the good actions, all of the fruit that we bear, all of our love and our gentleness and our kindness and our compassion that we show to others, all the times we have loved our enemies, it's because he has supplied it to us. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Daniel Pearson, not the fruit of Sean Davis, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ has infused itself inside of us. Oh, we are no longer in darkness. He keeps us shining. As the old Motel 6 commercial goes, we'll leave the light on for you. Jesus has left his light on for us. We are still the light of the world right now. Ye are the light of the world. Oh, 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says it this way. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We are to do what we are to do because we are who we are. You are not a Christian because you do good. No, you are a Christian because Jesus does good in and through you. It's not because of your works that you are a Christian today, that you are the light of the world today. It's because the Son of Light has imparted his light on us. Oh, be ye therefore... Matthew 5:48 says it this way. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That scripture haunts me because I know I'm not perfect. But when I look at Jesus, I find my perfection. When I look at myself, I wonder how am I saved today? But when I look at Jesus, I see how could I be lost? He has done so much in his life and his death and his resurrection for me. He has fulfilled the law. I no longer have to work, jump through hoops, religious hoops to please God. I am pleasing to God because of Jesus Christ. Justification. Just as if I never sinned. Just as if I never sinned. We are justified by his blood. It's the supply of light. I like those truck commercials where they show the towing ability of a truck. They always show the truck pulling something like a boat up a hill. Do you know that the thing that is being pulled is doing nothing but going for a ride? You never see a boat hitch onto a truck struggling to climb a hill. The power for the tow is located under the hood of the truck. The power is built into the vehicle. All the boat has to do is be hooked onto the truck. The power for your Christian life is not in you. The power of your Christian life is Christ under the hood. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is your power. That is your light. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are, not maybe, not might, not kinda. Ye are. That ye is all of you, not some of you. If you are saved by God's grace, repented of your sins and placed your faith in him and was baptized into his church, ye all are the light of the world. The only light. Just as Jesus was the only light in this world, today the church, God's church, is the only light in this world. We have the whole light, not half the light, not some of the Bible. We don't have a Bible that's some verses are missing or with too many verses in it. We have the whole light. Yes. We are the light of the world. So the light is yours. The light is mine. Claim it, Christian.
Yes.
Thirdly, this morning, we see the silence of light. The silence of light. Verse 14, I'll read the text together, all together. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Oh, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Just like you cannot miss the light of a bright city. You ever seen on TV or been to New York City? You can't miss it. It's shining. Just as Las Vegas, I've seen it many times over flying over or on TV. You can't miss it. It's bright light in the middle of a desert. It's just, you can't miss it. So it is with the church, where she is wholeheartedly shining. You can't miss her. You can't miss her. But here's the problem. Too often, we do what no man would ever do. Jesus said no man would ever put a bushel over a candlestick. Common sense says you do not put a bushel over a candlestick or you will put it out. But too often, us Christians, we go against common sense and we put bushels over our light. Oh, we put God's supplied light under a bushel. Why do we not shine God's light? What makes us silent about God's light? Three bushels that I wrote down here. Religion, rebellion, and reservation. We're going to take reservation first. Shame. Shame is why. Shame, it causes us to not shine God's light. This shame comes from inside. Inside, we struggle with timidity. Timidity. What Timothy struggled with. We struggle with being unashamed of God's light. A light can be awkward. You ever shine the light underneath your face? Maybe around a campfire, you shine this light around under your face in the darkness. If you ever did it in a mirror, you're like, man, whoa.
Yeah.
You see everything. You see all the impurities in your face. Kind of like, oh, let me take that away. I don't like the way I look. The light, when we sometimes are a witness in this world, we grow a little ashamed of the light because we know we're not perfect. We see all our impurities when we preach. We see all of our impurities when we try to correct someone else. And it causes us to say, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to speak up. Sometimes I've done it as a parent. I am about to get on my son or my daughter for something I did when I was a kid, and it almost just stopped me in my steps. Oh, that's me. That's me right there. Shame just comes over me. Oh, we cover up God's light because of the shame within ourselves. Trying to shine Jesus' light can make us very uncomfortable at times because it makes us sound like we have it all together. Oh, so instead of shining the light, we cover it up. We let shame dim his light. Don't, Christian, don't let what the world say make you do something so ignorant, like cover your light. Don't let the world call you a Jesus freak make you cover up the light. Don't let the world calling you self-righteous, Bible-thumping. Don't let their words make you dim God's light. You know it's not yours. You should know it's not yours. If you think it's yours, kill your pride. The light that's in you, like I already said, the supply light is Jesus, amen, not you. We have a treasure in these vessels of clay. Let us not think that way, but don't let us cover up the light because the world is going to look at us as some self-righteous bigot. No. We do what we do because the Bible says so. We say what we say because the Bible says so. Amen. I don't care what anyone may say. I don't care how they try to brainwash us. LGBTQT will always be sin. Yes. Amen. I don't care if they hide under the cloak of Black Lives Matter or any other organization. Sin is sin. Amen. And we must stand. Though we may lose our heads like John the Baptist, we must shine his light. So, first reservation. Second, religion. Oh, rebellion. I have rebellion here. Rebellion. Rebellious sin. Sin takes the power out of the light. Now, sin cannot diminish Jesus' light. Okay? I don't want to sound like I'm... sin can kill God's light. It cannot. It cannot. But sin in our lives can outshine the light. If we're rebellion against God, but we still walking around like we're good Christians, the world knows it. The world can spot a hypocrite quicker than some Christians.
That's right.
They can see right through it. I've been in many debates about false teachers on TV. Every time I get to talking about Jesus, yeah, but y'all preachers are money hungry. They see, they know, right? They can pinpoint where we can pinpoint. The light is outshined by the sins of men on TV. And I tell you, your sins in your life, if you are in rebellion against God, will outshine Jesus' light. If you are in sin, repent. Repent. And be truthful with the unbeliever and with the Lord. No matter what shame may come with it, be truthful about who you used to be. And be truthful about your sins in your life. Own it. Own it. I fear that too many parents throughout Christian history, Christian parents, did not own their sins that they did against their own kids. We must own our sins. We must. When we were wrong, we were wrong. Don't let pride kill your light. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and Satan will flee. We must not be in rebellion. It will destroy our light. Don't eclipse light with reckless living. Proverbs 25:26 says it this way: a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. A corrupt spring corrupts the river that quenches the people's thirst. If we are corrupt, our gospel will look corrupt. We must live above reproach. I heard one unbeliever say it this way: I like their Christ, but I don't like those Christians. God forbid that is said of us. God forbid. We must be his witness. I love the woman at the well. I always think about her. When she ran in that city, she was unashamed of her sins. When we say unashamed of the gospel, when Paul says that, we always think unashamed, get a Christian t-shirt, get a couple of wristbands, get some tattoos. I'm unashamed of the gospel. No. Amen. Unashamed of the gospel means I'm unashamed of who I used to be. I'm unashamed of what I may do now. Because why am I unashamed? Because Jesus saved my soul. The woman at the well ran into that city. And she said, come see a man who showed me all that I ever done. I can imagine the people in that city looking at her like, another husband? What is this, number six? Seven? They know her life. That's why she's at the well alone. She's an outcast. But when she saw the Savior, she left her water pot and she ran into the city. She could care less about all those husbands. She could care less about what she's done in her life. She wanted to tell someone about Jesus. Oh, don't live in sin. Don't live in rebellion. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ and be his witness. Shine his light. Thirdly, another bushel that we use is religion. Religion should never outshine the gospel. I know we all get stuck in our ways. We all get stuck in our ways. It happens. We've been doing this for 20 years. We've been doing this for 30 years. We get stuck in our ways. But we must remember, God calls us to an uncomfortable life. You must take risks. Not to be comfortable in our pews. No, that's not the life that God has called us to. If God didn't want us in this world, he would have raptured us already. But he wants us here, working for him. I think too many churches today have the same, their number one quote is Peter's number one quote. When Jesus asked him to do something uncomfortable, in Acts 10, he said, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Jesus said, eat. Not so, Lord. I heard one preacher say it this way. That's an oxymoron. If you say not so to the Lord, he is no longer your Lord. You don't say not so and Lord in the same sentence. Amen. You tell God no, he is not your Lord then. He is not your master. He is our Lord and Savior. We say yes because he's Lord, or we just say no because he's not Lord. Not so, Lord, Peter said. Oh, Peter would rather stay in his comfort zone than go shine his light among Gentiles. We must not say. We must say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let us break free of religion. Of the way we have always done things. It's killing, it's quenching our light. We don't have a voice in the world. There's things that the worldly people are saying that we should have been saying today, right now, in this culturally divided world, in this racially divided world. There's things that we have the truth. I don't know about you, but my God has been against oppression since Genesis. He was against oppression when Satan came and oppressed Eve. He was against slavery. He was against racial division in Exodus when he told Moses, let my people go. When he said to Pharaoh, let my people go. God has been against all of the wickedness in this world way before the world ever thought of being against it. God is not behind the times. We're the ones, the Christians. We're the ones who have lost our voice. In the public square, we must preach. Stop putting religion over his light. Amen. Be his witness. Our God is, he still saves, right? He still saves, right? I'm saved. Hallelujah, amen. He still saves. Let us shine his light. Fourthly, lastly, this morning, shine. The shine of light. The shine of light. But on a candlestick, that's where you put the candle, on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let it. Let it. Let it. As is natural for the sun in the sky to shine. It should be natural for the Christian to just shine. We should just shine. We don't have to work up to it. We should just shine. Yes. If we don't put a bushel over it, we will shine. Isaiah 60 verse 1 and 2 says these words, "Arise, shine." When I read that scripture, I always think that's where people got that from. Mama used to come, "Arise and shine, get your day going." Isaiah says in verse 60, chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." That's us, church. The world is covered in darkness, but the glory of God should be seen upon us. Let's end with one way to let the Father's light shine in our lives, to do his good works. And the one way I'm going to talk about here is preaching. Preaching. I've already been talking about it most of the time, but it's still relevant. It's the most, God has left us here to speak, not to live out the gospel. I know it's a lot about living today, and that's good. That's good. But God is a speaking God. He is called the Word of God. He left us words, not movies, not cute cartoons, but he has left us words. We must speak. We must speak. We don't wear long robes and backward collars or live in the hills like monks with no electric. No, we shine through speaking with a new tongue. Jesus shined the Father's light right here by preaching this sermon. This three-chapter sermon. At the end of these three chapters, the people said this about Jesus in Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29. They said this about him. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." We shine God's light by preaching out his light. Our native language is the gospel. Good news. That's our native language. Our native language is heavenly. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 to 7 says it this way. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light, commanded with his words, the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." George Whitfield said it this way. "God forbid that I should travel with anybody a quarter of an hour without speaking of Christ to them." Oh, let us speak. There's an American embassy in England. Located in that building is all the power of the U.S. government on one square block. Everything needed from an American standpoint, it's inside that building. Because when it speaks on behalf of the government. Suppose another world leader said to the president, "Let's have negotiations." The president could say, "I already have an ambassador in your country." What he would be implying is that to talk to an ambassador is the same as talking to him. The Bible says that you and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. When people hear from us, they hear just from God. They have just heard from God. He has given us delegated authority to speak on his behalf. How can we be ambassadors with our mouths closed? He has given us the privilege to be his spokesperson. We are his spokesperson. We are his forerunner of his soon coming. We're like John the Baptist. Right now, we are running ahead of Christ. He's coming back, right? Hallelujah, he's coming back. And we are his forerunners. Yes. We're his spokespersons. Speak up, man. Speak up, lady. Amen. Speak up. Shine today and tell someone about the hope of glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, grace, and mercy. Thank you for the great privilege to be your ambassador. We represent heaven, but not with our own goodness, not with our own light. We represent heaven, we represent your throne, we represent the triune God with your light. Lord, help us. Help us just let it shine. Help us just let it shine. Oh, Lord. Don't let religion, rebellion, reservation, don't let those three rule in our lives, that we cover your light and we hide your light. Oh, Lord, the persecution is growing in this country. The hatred for Christians are growing in this country. Lord, help us face this world with power, the power of your gospel. Not the power in ourselves, but the power in the gospel. Lord, too long we have left it up to the White House to make great changes in this world. The White House has failed and is failing because it is not your house. You have given the church house the responsibility to fulfill your great commission. You have given the church house your light. Help us do our job in this fallen, dark, dark world. We need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. Give us boldness. In the face of persecution, give us the spirit of boldness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.